We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Yeah.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. He's going to be back on Monday. Matt Steinmetz in the house. Just a couple things to keep you abreast on. The Jonathan Kuminga saga continues. Might come down to October 1st when he's got to make a choice about his qualifying offer. Sending our wishes of a speedy recovery to Golden State Valkyries forward Kayla Thornton, who suffered an injury to her right knee earlier this week in practice, underwent a successful surgery today in SF, but she's going to be out for the remainder of the WNBA season, is going to begin rehabbing immediately, was the lone all-star for the Valkyries this year, so a big loss for them this season, about midway through the campaign. Talking a little bit about the Niners, before we get back into them, and we also got some Giants stuff to get into as well, what's your deal with cruises? Like, we were talking about this yesterday after the show. So, we're hanging out, and somebody tells us, I'm going on a cruise. I'm going to Alaska.
Yeah.
I'm flying up to Seattle, taking a seven-day cruise to Alaska. And I have never been on a cruise, but I'm not opposed to going on one. And yet, you seem to just shoot it down like
No,
you were very anti-Cruz, and I don't mean Tom.
First of all, it's pronounced Cruz, like George,
like crucifix.
No, like George Costanza's dad.
It's a Cruz. Like he,
remember
Cruz.
When he remember when George stole his cabana ware when they were good. Okay. All I said was,
what do you have against big boats?
Nothing. If I don't have a hankering to go on a cruise. I got to get on a cruise. It's not on my bucket list. However, if the opportunity to go on a cruise came up, I would go. I think.
You said somebody would have to pay you to go on a cruise.
It would have to be one of those where, hey, 95.7 The Game listeners, you want to go on a cruise with Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson? Enter this contest and you'll be on the right. You'll be on the Pacific Princess to the Hawaiian Islands.
Hey.
What if I told you this? My problem with my fear of boats or ships, like those kind of ships, cruise ships, is they play into two fears, claustrophobia and agoraphobia.
Yeah, not the old ship, but.
No, that's the safest place. On the West Coast, that's the safest ship.
Well, I'm not talking about a cruise ship like, you know, you're afraid. Have you seen the movie Annapolis?
No.
Okay, well, it's about a giant cruise ship basically sinking. Guy's got to get out of it. Like, you're afraid of the Titanic? Is that what you're talking about?
No, it's that one that messed up in Italy, the Concorde thing.
Fear of being confined to a small space,
and at the same time being in the biggest open space that you could conceive of. Do you see the paradox there?
It sounds like you just don't like the ocean.
I love the ocean. I love it less when I'm, you know, 1,000 miles from shore. So I've looked at some of these cruise ships, and it does feel like the rooms are really small. Like, they're pretty small, and they are layered on top of each other, and
you're going to have to make friends.
No, that I don't mind. It's just, I could see getting a little, what's it called? What is it called when you're in a island fever?
Yeah. Rock fever. Like,
you got to get off the island.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're surrounded by ocean. That's what you're kind of feeling, just in a smaller space.
That's what
claustrophobia.
Yeah, that's what I would, That's what I would be afraid of. But I would give it a try.
Okay. Well, if anybody wants to sponsor Steiny and Guru cruise ship, doesn't have to be for a week, could be shorter. Just give us a call at 888-957-9570.
I would love. Now, the gentleman who was going on a cruise that we talked to yesterday, he's going to take it from Seattle. I got to believe there's cruises that go to Alaska from San Francisco. I got to believe.
I mean, I'm sure you can go up and down the West Coast.
Yeah.
Down to Mexico.
I would much rather go to Alaska.
The Panama Canal.
No, I'd much rather go to Alaska than Mexico.
Well, in the summer. In the 650, sounds like excuses, Danny. Go on a cruise and conquer your fear.
Fear's too strong. Uneasy.
Uneasiness?
Uneasy.
You know what makes me uneasy, Steiny?
Hmm. The 49ers defense?
Kind of. Training camp statistics.
But,
I can't think of a less relevant statistic than a training camp statistic. For example, you know who leads the NFL in completion percentage in training camp?
Now,
I'll give you a hint.
We're not doing that.
It's not Brock Purdy. Oh, I know who it is.
I can't believe that.
After 2 days.
Well, first of all, they don't... Who?
Drake May.
Yeah, I
like him. He's 29 for 32, according to the Boston Globe. 91%. He leads all NFL training camp quarterbacks in practice completion percentage.
Okay, I've got
how stupid that sounds.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
So there's no way that the team provides that information. Correct?
It's being logged by people that are, you know, charting throws and
right.
And then they tweet it out or they put it in their articles.
So you're telling me there are 32 writers out there, all of whom
are
calculating the statistics on their own, and then they funnel it to a common place.
I mean, I do think that teams keep stats or records.
Sure.
But it's not public.
Right.
Like, they're keeping stuff to evaluate their own players.
So let's
which is really what matters.
Let's use, I was going to use Matt Maiocco, but his role has changed. So we'll take Matty Barrows.
You got to get off Maiocco.
We'll take Matty Barrows. So he was he's on the sidelines today. And he's charting it all, and he's seeing, okay, what did Brock Purdy do today? He was 12 for 17, a touchdown and a pick. There's 31 other Matt Barrows out there that are I got to believe not every beat writer does that, do they?
You want to know what Brock Purdy was yesterday in training camp?
I mean,
he was a surgeon.
Sure, tell
13
me.
Of 14. Including a long bomb to George Kittle. I don't know if touchdowns were a part of this. But in the practice sessions, Brock Purdy was 13-14.
You see Aaron Rodgers threw a pick on his first throw of the training camp?
Yeah, he's done. Actually, I think it was intended for DK Metcalf. That relationship is off to a rocky start.
That's not what ESPN said.
I don't know. The Pittsburgh Steelers they got something going on.
Good or bad?
Oh, bad. Real bad.
Huh.
DK Metcalf is a diva. Aaron Rodgers is on his last leg. Mike Tomlin's losing the grip on the No, again, I'm gathering all of this from a training camp stat. I don't care.
Well, what's Rodgers? What was Rodgers?
Someone like throws in camp.
Are you telling me there's a list that you're looking at of training camp leaders in statistics?
Apparently, I saw today that Drake May leads the NFL in training camp completion percentage after 2 days.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I kind of agree. It's gratuitous. However, if you can come up with a list, I kind of would like to look at it. Yeah, I'd like to see what Rodgers is doing. Knowing it has no bearing on the season, but... Yeah, I would absolutely like to see that list and, you know, where Brock fits it. Because, you know what, at the very least, you know, let's say Rodgers is great, but he doesn't have a good training camp. I mean, you know, at least you have that for context. You know, yeah, he wasn't great in training camp, but once the regular season started, he was good.
Yeah, but if a beat writer from Pittsburgh is writing Well, Aaron Rodgers' arm looks a little lesser than we were expecting, or you know, he's not that quick and is having trouble evading some of the pass rushers. Like that, I glean more from that than Aaron Rodgers threw a pick to DK Metcalf. You know, and I think he said after, like, well, we got that one out of the way.
Right.
Like, throwing a pick in training camp, in my opinion, and it conversely, throwing a bunch of touchdowns doesn't mean anything to me.
All right.
What? You got a problem with that?
So, okay. Okay. So,
it's important. You'd like to complete passes.
You know,
But Purdy threw two picks on the first day of training camp, bounced back 13 to 14. Like, I don't care.
All right. You ready? I have an analogy
that
you will say is a perfect analogy. So
you don't know that.
No, but I bet you will say it's a great analogy.
Well, now I want to say it's not.
I know you're going to want to, but it's going to be too on the money.
Okay.
So quarterbacks in training camp are the same as pitchers in spring training. That when they get knocked around a little bit, there's a possibility that the pitcher was simply working on stuff, just like a quarterback could be working on stuff. Mm-hmm. Told you.
Well, now I want to disagree with you.
I can't.
But I can't.
Mm.
Was that Bonte? What? A.
No, that was me.
Oh.
The second one.
I thought that sound was Bonte.
Mm.
Time for the legal.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. Also a reminder that all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Well, do you want to hear about what actually matters at training camp? This is from Tim Kawakami yesterday on Willard and Dibbs, Grandy in for Willard.
There's a lot of young players. That's what strikes you in the first thing. There's just a lot of young bodies out there, a few less familiar faces, but then some of the familiar faces are out there too. But more than anything, you see Mikael Williams, you see Nick Martin, you see, you know, CJ West, you see all these guys. It's different. There's a different energy to it when you see younger players out there. Obviously, they have to prove themselves, though.
There's youth. There's athleticism. There's size. That's what I care about in training camp. I want to know what bodies are competing for what spots and if I feel good about them. I don't really care much. And maybe it's just specific to quarterbacks. And I guess if you told me Fred Warner had umpteen tackles in practice, that makes people feel better. But the quarterback training camp stats don't mean much to me. I want to know how Mikael Williams is doing. I want to know how Nick Martin is doing, who looks really fast. I want to know how all these guys who are competing for spots that are, according to Sala, wide open, I want to know how they're performing.
So the Niners are the model for the Warriors.
What?
The Niners are the model for the Warriors. If you're telling me that there's youth, athleticism, and size on the Niners, those are all things the Warriors are craving right now. Youth, athleticism, size.
Well, they're about to get rid of one of them.
Apparently. Well, apparently.
We don't know that, but.
Look, there's no getting around the fact that, you know, the questions surrounding the defense are going to be the ones that we kind of look at early in the season. And I don't know. And I was talking about this yesterday, Evan. I would rather the Niners kind of, you know, they rebuild and they transitioning. I would much rather, I'm more excited about the 49ers this year because there's more unknown than had the 49ers done the equivalent of running it back after last year and essentially blaming the season on injuries. And, you know, we know we got rid of some big names, but like if they came back and it became obvious that they just thought last year was an outlier and they were going to do it again, I would be like, oh, you got to be kidding me. This is different. They're going in a little bit of a new direction, and I think they have the defensive coordinator to make it as good as it can be. And I'm sorry, I like seeing young teams grow. And who knows? This could be the start of the 49ers having put together a dominant defense. Or maybe they missed on six guys. I don't know. But this is what I really enjoy about sports, is watching what's going to develop on that defensive side with young players.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I lean more towards them rebuilding that side of the football, but I do have to keep an open mind that they might have drafted some studs. Like, they might have got some guys that are really going to help them in their first season, or their second or third year players that didn't play much or a little bit last year really step into a starting position. You know, the thing, too, is about the Niners. So they kind of have a little bit of both. The one thing that I don't know if it irks me, but it makes me feel a bit troubled is, like, they didn't have to completely clean house this offseason. I know Kyle Shanahan said that some of the decisions that they were going to make, like, they weren't going to be able to bring Aaron Banks back. He was getting paid too much money by the Bears. Hufanga, paid by Denver. They needed to move off of Debo and found a suitor in Washington to do that. But they tried to re-sign Dre Greenlaw. In fact, the reports are they actually flew to him. Like, they tried as best they could to bring him back. I don't think they had to get off of Leonard Floyd, who had 1 year left on his deal. You know, there were some players on last year's team that could have helped this year if they really believed to me that I don't know if it's ready to reset is the terminology I want to use, but like there's something about like when the Niners believe that they got action, and I do give credit to Jed York, he spends money, and Kyle Shanahan is right that this Niners team has spent a lot of cash over the last few seasons to make sure that they're in the best possible position to succeed. Last year, they spent more cash than any team in the NFL. This year, there was clearly, and I know that they had to get younger, they had to get faster, but there was clearly a decision that they were also going to get cheaper. And I think that means they're willing to kind of eat it for a...
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Season. Not be terrible, but they knew they were going to have to take a step back.
I mean, let me ask, yeah, and I think it makes sense. If the 49ers aren't going to compete for a Super Bowl, all right, and it looks like it's going to be really hard for them too, why would you want Leonard Floyd here? Like, he's somebody who, you know...
Well, he was only making $10 million.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, there's also something about having a veteran on your team who's, you know, past his prime a little bit. You're not probably going to win a Super Bowl anyway. So I could see how you look at a guy like Leonard Floyd and say, you know what, let's put a younger guy in there. He may not be obviously as good at this point, but he's got the opportunity to grow, A, and then B, we will save some money because it'll be a guy on his rookie deal. And then, you know, C, you also have to be careful of having too many veteran players on a team that might not go anywhere. You know what I mean? Kind of like last year.
Well, I think that they clearly came into camp looking to be, and John Lynch actually used this word, I think it was a couple of days ago, but like more prepared. Not just in a literal sense, but I think prepared for the unknown. Prepared for the possibility that this season doesn't go the way everyone wants it to. Like, they're prepared because they're younger. I think they have a bit more flexibility. Say the season doesn't go well, I think they have more flexibility to rearrange some things to try and get better the year after next. And again, to see kind of where they're at. But Lynch actually, he brought this up, and I thought you might like this, because he compared and talked about the preparedness in relation to a guy in Scottie Scheffler.
Oh.
who you like, I know, quite a bit.
I watched, I think we all sat back and watched Scottie Scheffler, you know, win the Open. And he's starting to talk a little more in terms of what his preparation and things. And the thing he said, and I think it translates to any sport, is how everything he does during the week in preparations is extremely intentional to try to set him up to do one thing, give himself the best chance to win. And that's the same thing we try to do and how we put our roster together, how they organize practices. And that's what this whole thing's all about. So I would just say the tone is you got to go earn it. And I know we have some very motivated players to do just that.
All right. Fair enough.
What? Now, you know what I'm thinking about with Lynch, and I kind of feel like this season is about identifying players to support not the older core, but their 20-somethings. That's why they got rid of so many different. Maybe they got rid of Leonard Floyd, Malik Collins, even to some extent Dre Greenlaw. They're trying to find out if among the 6 to 8 spots that they have to fill, if any of those guys can be maybe the next Fred Warner, can be the next George Kittle, not like that position, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That can support the core that's already there and that they can legitimately envision becoming dudes in a couple seasons. Like, in a way, that's what I think that they are willing to risk this season for, to figure out if all of these young guys that they have, and a lot of them haven't had opportunities to play because there's been people in front of them. Well, let's just get rid of all of those guys because they're too old. We don't think they're worth their contract. Let's give this season to see if we got a couple of guys that are up next. How much of that season is this going to be about? I think it's a lot.
I do too. I think I think if you're going to have 6 to 8 new players on defense, obviously that includes some rookies, some second and third year players. I think we went down the list yesterday. So, yes, you go through this season and the rookies who play, you either like them or you don't like them. But the guys in their second and third year, those are also the guys you got to make a determination about whether they're going to be good enough in 3 or 4 years or 2 or 3 years from now. Are they improving at a rate that gets you to a point where your defense could be really good in 2 years? Or are they just guys, kind of? And yes, I think they got to identify, let's say 4 rookies start on defense. Does that mean they're going to like those 4 rookies enough at the end of the year that they can look at each other, Lynch and Shanahan, and say, well, those 4 rookies are going to play for the next 2 or 3 years, you know, on their rookie contracts, and we don't have to upgrade those positions. We'll get depth there, but we don't have to upgrade. Those guys are going to get better, and they're going to upgrade themselves every season in the next 2 or 3.
Well, there's also something too, I'm thinking about Brock Purdy and how he fits into all of this. And on the other side, I want to explore that, because I think the Niners are also, what they're doing is they are conforming a bit to what the modern NFL franchise must do. And that's what happens when you pay your quarterback. I want to get into that on the other side. Coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, the Valkyries take on the Dallas Wings. You can hear the game right here on 95.7 The Game, or on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. Brought to you by the San Francisco Sheriff's Office. Your future begins here. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Getting Zim for Guru alongside Steinmetz. We're back after this, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. He's going to be back on Monday. Steinmetz here as always. You are a little nervous about the weekend. I can tell.
What are you talking about?
Well, you got a big event coming up.
What's that?
Well, you said yesterday you're playing Pebble Beach. That's big boy stuff. You nervous?
No, why would I be nervous? I'm not
because
paying.
You only get one shot.
I've played there before. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Give me two whoops because I've played there twice. Looking forward to it. I'll tell you that
it's a big boy course.
Yes, it is.
Getting up at the crack of dawn.
Well, I'm playing at they have a, I think a par three called the Hay. We're going to play that in the morning, and then we're going to play Pebble Beach in the afternoon, and then we're going to have dinner. So, it's going to be a fun day. Fun day down at, you ever been down there?
I've been to Monterey.
Okay.
Well, or it's in what, Pacific Grove?
Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
Pacific Grove's like a town over.
Oh, well then I've
that's
never...
where Spadoni's from.
I know. Yeah. He always makes sure to claim PG.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's probably going to be like the weather outside right now.
It's fine. No rain. That's
a little
all.
Soupy.
Little oh, that's soupy. Fine. Oh, yeah. Hopefully shorts and a long sleeve shirt will get it done. I don't feel like wearing pants, but if I have to, I will.
I think you'll be all right.
I know I will.
Did you hear what your boy said yesterday?
My boy.
Yeah. Big Trent.
Which one?
Big Trent.
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not crazy about him unless he is talking at the podium. Because I do like to listen to him. He's really smart.
So why are you so hard on him?
Because he's selfish. Because he's selfish.
They're all selfish.
Yeah. Well,
everybody's trying
you know what,
to get
though?
Theirs.
He's the guy who's the biggest in terms of selfishness.
Well, he's 6'7". Like,
exactly. Literally. Yeah.
Might not be bigger than Michael Williams. Said he was as big as DeForest Buckner.
Well,
all right.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this question, and then I'm going to play this piece of sound for you from Trent Williams at the podium yesterday. Do you think that Trent Williams was taking accountability for what happened last season? Remember, he was one of the people that held out for a contract pretty late. By his standards, didn't have a great season. Niners obviously went 6-11. So, I know you like him at the podium. Did you hear him taking accountability?
I don't know. I went here last year to see the difference. But it's always good when you can have everybody in attendance. You know, I know for myself, that was my, you know, first time that I played football without a training camp. So that was pretty different for me. But, you know, I like training camp. I like the camaraderie you build with your teammates. And, you know, it's 90 guys. So,
yeah,
you know, you get to know a lot of people. And obviously, and they cut down to 53. Those guys leave, but they become lifetime friends. So, you know, that's to me, I just feel like that's the thing that you gain the most with having everybody around. You know, obviously everybody got their business decisions to make, but, you know, I didn't see how it was last year, but I know this year it feels good. The morale is up and, you know, please see everybody.
Oh, he's...
No!
He's back.
He took no accountability for anything. Are you kidding me?
But he said he loves training camp. It's the only one he's ever missed.
I thought, is that true? I thought he was notorious for hating training camp and not wanting to, and holding out, not being
there. Usually shows up, maybe not the first day, but he's always around. Yeah.
I heard no accountability there.
All right, what about this one? It's their overall approach this year.
Well, how does he can't compare it to anything?
Just try to be ready physically. like you said, I played a lot of snaps, so it's probably nothing that's going to surprise me when I get out there on the field, but it's just being ready to consistently do the same thing, play after play.
Yeah.
For, you know, from now into February, hopefully. So, you know, I try not to put too much pressure on myself. You know, I just try to make sure I'm prepared and I go out there and just play football. I love to compete. So,
let him talk.
You know, when I'm in that mode, when I'm my cleats on the grass, to me, I feel like, you know, like I'm a rookie, you know, just because of how I approach and how I just love to play.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's locked in.
Yeah.
What? I thought you said you liked listening to him. Are you ready to rip him again?
I like listening to him, but that was a whole bunch of nothing.
What are you talking
about?
I'm
just saying. First of all, he doesn't like training camp. Stop it.
This is a pretty good one from our YouTube chat. Kane Stylebender. Trent loves training camp like I like.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes?
Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Eating raw vegetables.
Exactly.
But they're good for you. Just like training camp is a necessary evil. What happened last year? Blake Snell said, I miss spring training. And that's why he
this
had
year
a bad
he decided
first
to miss the first half of the season.
Well,
if you're going to miss games, they may as well be regular season games.
Hey, get injured on company time, recover on company time.
Oh, who cares?
Trent Williams is locked and loaded, ladies and gentlemen. I think he's due for a big season.
Okay, sure. I mean, I guess he's earned everything he's gotten, clearly, but...
Oh, he's earned a
proof
private
is in
jet.
The proof? What?
Trent Williams has a private jet.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No, he has access to a private jet.
No, he's made over $200 million. If he wanted to buy a G5, he could do it.
I think they're more than $200 million.
Well, maybe not a G5, but a private plane that he uses to get from place to place.
I'd need verification of that.
He talked about it yesterday.
Yes, but that could mean he just has access to a plane that he can use anytime.
Then why would he refer to a private?
Well, how did he refer to it? Can we hear that sound?
No, we don't have that one. I'm just putting words in his mouth.
He's part of the Wheels Up program. You know, you pay money and he gets to use 40 hours of flight time, and he's got to reserve it 2 months in advance. There's no way he's got a plane parked in Beaumont, Texas. Just sitting there. You know how much it costs?
No, but he might have a spot on the runway at Gilroy's airport.
Do you know how much it costs?
Do you know how much he makes?
To keep a...
Why do you think he wanted the guaranteed money last year?
Is he a billionaire?
No.
That's why I don't think he has a plane.
He's a smart investor.
I don't doubt that.
Don't you put anything past Trent Williams.
I would never disparage his character.
He's also... He's going to be playing until he's 40, so he knows he's got an extra $30 million for the next couple seasons coming his way. Just like Curry, he's got a few more seasons left.
No, he doesn't.
Why not? He's as spry as a spring chicken.
I'll make a bet with you right now that this year will be his last or next year. He will not play after 2 years from now.
All right, we can
take it to the bank. You know what else you can take to the bank?
What?
He's got access to a plane.
Well, I'm going to tell you why it's kind of bugging me coming up at 2 o'clock. Yeah, what's bugging you? Brought to you by Atco Pest Control.
Oh, man, that's right.
Doesn't sound like it's going to be hard for you today. All right, this is from Eric Branch of the SF Chronicle.
Oh, I know. Yeah, sure.
Piece of information coming down. Cornerback Renardo Green, second round pick last year, had a strong practice but had to exit late in the session with an apparent hamstring injury. So those two Niners that have gone down the first 3 days with a hammy. Ricky Pearsall, by the way, is expected to be back at practice this weekend. But first, Jacob Cowan, wide receiver, and now Renardo Green, who is supposed to be one of their starting corners, down with hammies.
Well, that's not good news.
Well, it's football.
It is, but they still aren't in pads, right?
Good thing they got Upton Stout. No, I don't think they are in pads yet.
I don't understand. I guess it's a long off season, and then you get out there, and I don't know what to tell you. Trent Williams owns a Gulfstream jet, according to 707. Yeah, let me just see. I always feel like I got to do this, even though I'd like to think
you don't have to do anything.
No, I do have to because sometimes I make the mistake of taking for granted that all of our listeners are intelligent.
They are.
And clearly some aren't. The Trent Williams plane thing is a shtick. It's a bit. okay. I'm sure he
We agreed to stop using that because people are starting to think that everything we do is a bit.
It's not.
It's not a bit.
No. You know, I'd like to see. Can somebody ask him to bring in the registration maybe on Monday?
He's not going to need to provide proof of a private jet to you.
I'll
take him at his word.
Maybe to the media.
How about an exchange? All right. I believe that Trent Williams has a private jet. In an exchange, I get 16 games from Trent Williams this year.
All right.
I mean, there's pressure on him to have a good season. If he doesn't, that O-line is in shambles.
Here's the other thing. It's like, you know, I don't even want to be associated with a private jet right now. I mean, even being associated with a private jet. Yeah.
Careful.
So, you know, I'm just saying.
Steiny has money. Steiny no, has money if he's associated with a private jet.
No, you're missing.
He's associated
you're
with
missing
Pebble
the
Beach.
Point.
No, it's something a little bit deeper, Pasta. You got to dig.
Yeah.
All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan and Fergu with Steiny. All right. We got like 10, 12 minutes here until the crossover. Six days away from the trade deadline, signing. Or was there something else you wanted to get to first?
Giants.
So Josh Naylor.
Three game series against the Mets.
Yeah, but Josh Naylor was traded today.
Yes.
To the Mariners.
The Mariners are the first team.
Or last night.
To, you know, it's like a marathon, and then one guy breaks out. The Mariners have been the first to break out. Now, you've noticed McMahon's going somewhere.
Ryan McMahon was traded from the Colorado Rockies to the New York Yankees.
Right. So the Yankees now have broken through, and they're drafting off the Mariners, which is a common strategy in distance running. You knew that, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
So who do you want for the Giants? Who is on your wish list?
They need a starting pitch. You know what? Just because Keller. Go get Keller. Why not?
You're going to see him in less than a week, probably.
Well, I'm sure we will. We'll probably see him twice. I'll tell you what, if the Giants don't face Skeens when they play the Pirates six times in 9 days, I'm going to be hot. I want to see that guy pitch.
Well, you can.
I'm not against hack teams.
You can see him pitch in between when they play the Giants on MLB TV.
Yeah, who do they play between the Giants series?
All right. You know what? I've actually been thinking about this. So
actually, I've been thinking about this too. Let's say you're a Giants season ticket holder.
But I've been thinking first.
I know.
Okay.
Let's say you're a Giants season ticket holder.
Yeah.
And you love the Giants. You want to see Skeens pitch against your team?
Absolutely.
So
not.
No. Okay. All right.
Absolutely not.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Because although to be fair, he's what 4-10.
True.
Although he just beat the Tigers. No, I personally want to see Skeens pitch in San Francisco in person. So I am disappointed that they might miss him.
Me too.
But this weekend, you got two of your three horses against... Now, Kenny, the Mets
got... No, Verlander's not going this weekend.
Stop.
He's on a one-game winning streak.
Webb and Ray...
He's hotter than Ray and Webb.
It's not a streak.
He is hotter than... He's pitched better... More recently than Robbie Ray. Okay, go ahead.
No, New York Ken or Jersey Ken was telling me Skeens is pitching on Sunday, so he will miss the Giants.
Oh, my God. I thought he might miss them the first time. So if he pitches Sunday, he's going to pitch what? The following Friday or Saturday?
Friday or Saturday.
And that's when the Pirates, they're in town.
The Pirates are here next week, early in the week.
The Pirates would be back home playing the Giants.
Right, and he could pitch. He'll pitch there.
But not here.
Correct. I just don't.
And that's what it's all about.
And the Giants are using him in all of their promotions, by the way.
Of course, that's straight out of the Warriors. It's a great timeout playbook. Come see our four-pack with Shaq and Kobe, Sean Kemp, Kevin Garnett, and...
Vince Carter.
Sure.
Although, unlike in 2002, nowadays when you promote an NBA player coming to Chase Center, you have zero guarantee that player is going to play.
That is true.
Hey, the Bucks are in town. You want to see A.J. Green and Pat Connaughton because Giannis is out with a back injury.
Yeah, and you can't even see Dame anymore.
All right, can we be honest about this? I sincerely.
Yeah.
So there's supposedly a couple untradeables, right? Eldridge, Wisenhunt, those are the two guys. Yeah. I might sound crazy. Eldridge is a no-go. I would be willing to move Wisenhunt if there is a player that can help the Giants this season and for the next couple. And to me, there's two guys, well, three, that I would consider.
All right.
One, Joe Kelly of the Minnesota Twins. Marin kid, by the way. Sir Francis Drake High School. Number two, Stephen Kwan, the Cleveland Guardians.
Yep, left fielder.
And number three, by the way, those first two players are under team control until 2028. Are they arbitration eligible starting this offseason? And number three.
Number three.
Thank you, Pasta. Is Adley Rutschman of the Baltimore Orioles. Now, I know that the Giants have a left fielder in Ramos. I know the Giants have a catcher in Patrick Bailey. To me, if you had the opportunity to acquire either Stephen Kwan or Adley Rutschman, I would be willing to part with Carson Wisenhunt. Those two players are legit all-star talents, relatively young and under team control. And I don't know what Wisenhunt's going to become. I think he's good, but those are two players I would sacrifice one of my best prospects for.
For the life of me, I don't understand why when we talk about draft picks and, you know, young players, when it comes to the Warriors, everybody, you know, wants to give them up because nobody's promised. You don't know how good they're going to be. But, and here's the thing about the Giants and what I've followed for 8 to 10 years is, don't tell me a guy's a sure thing. That's what I heard about Luciano.
He's a sure thing.
It's what we heard about Joey Bart. Give me a break. So, like, this whole idea of, Eldridge is untouchable. All right, I mean, that's fine if you think he's untouchable, but no guarantee that means he's going to hit 400 homers for the Giants just because you think he's that good not to trade.
No, but this is one thing the Giants and Buster Posey really does have to consider.
Philosophically, if you do believe in those two guys and you need to build up the farm system further, okay, I got what you're saying.
Well, they need to build up the farm system regardless, but it's the fact that unlike other teams that have been big bidders lately, they don't have a whole lot else after that. So they can't afford to trade a player and have them blossom. Like, to essentially miss on a trade. Whereas, I mean, the other teams that are involved in prospect talks right now are, what, the Padres, the Dodgers, the Tigers. All three of those teams have top farm systems. What you can't have is a situation like, and just because Ken's in the other room, I'm going to use this, where you give up a Pete Crow Armstrong for a Javier Baez. And that's why all the players that I'm mentioning that I would be willing to sacrifice a top prospect for are not rentals, are not guys that are just going to be here for 2 or 3 months and then they'll be on their way in free agency. Like, the Padres are considering trading Dylan Cease, he's had a down year, but he's a pretty good starting pitcher. I would not be in on trading for Dylan Cease, even if the Padres would be willing to trade in division, because Dylan Cease is going to be a free agent this summer. And he's going to command a lot of money. I don't want to pay him that money. I think that the reason why Kwan, less so Rutschman, but Kwan and specifically Kelly are available, both of them are all-star players, Kwan's a gold glover, is because those teams do not want to pay them in 3 years, and they don't want to get into arbitration. The Giants have a chance to do that, I think, right now with what they're looking at. And I think where Posey is trying to put this team in the next 1 to 3 years.
All right. I miss
Joe Ryan. Sorry, Joe
Thank
Ryan.
You. Thank you. I was getting ready to say, so you'd rather have a reliever than a starter. And of course, I'm looking up Joe Kelly.
Joe Ryan.
And I'm like,
it.
Joe Kelly, that horse is behind that used to pitch for the Dodgers, who stuck his tongue out at the dude. And then I'm like, okay, he's not even in the league this year. What's going on? Let me look at the Twins. And I see, there's no Joe Kelly. Okay.
No,
Joe Ryan.
Clean up on aisle E.
Now, that guy I do know.
Yeah, Joe Ryan.
All right. He is good. He's good. He's good. And you said he's under team control for a couple years?
Yeah, both he and Kwan become free agents in 2028.
I mean, ideally, that's the kind of guy you would want, is a guy who is going to be under contract for another 2 years, especially a guy like Ryan, who's only 29. Like, you don't want to, if you like him enough to acquire him at the deadline at 29, you got to like him enough to then want him on your team for a few years. So I like that, that he does have a couple years. Kwan's an interesting one. Because can Ramos play any other outfield position?
Well, I think Kwan can play other outfield positions.
But I like Kwan in left field, though.
Oh, he's great. He's maybe the best defensive left fielder in the game.
I mean,
you could experiment with Ramos in right field, because that would also give you a reason to, at the end of the season, move off of Yastrzemski.
Yeah, and Kwan can hit, and he's got some speed, too. This team doesn't have a lot of speed, and I like Kwan.
They don't have a leadoff hitter.
Well, they have Ramos and Jung-Hoo Lee.
They do.
No, but I think Kwan makes him better defensively. No doubt about it. I mean, even if you just play Kwan in left field and move Ramos to right field, they're better.
Like,
because he can't play right. I mean, Ramos isn't going to play right field any worse than he's playing left.
No, that's...
And then you're going to have an upgrade in left.
It's true. What do you think Buster Posey's thinking right now?
I think Buster Posey's thinking that he doesn't know if an acquisition or two is going to be the difference between this team finishing 38 or 36 and 24 as opposed to 32 and 28. You know what I mean? Which would, to me, I just use those numbers to put out the difference between, let's say, a playoff team and a wild card team and a non-wild card team. I mean, he's got to be convinced that the team right now is good enough to hang around, and then the guy or two he gets pushes him over. And Devers hasn't done that so far. Not that he's in this one, but
not since he's been at first base.
That's true.
2-0.
That's true.
Good note from the 415 in the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Kwan also from the Bay Area. Yep. Joe Ryan from Marin. Stephen Kwan from Fremont.
Okay. Yeah, I like Kwani.
Also, shout out to CC Sabathia.
Absolutely.
He's going into the Hall of Fame today, and he is one of ours.
He was
from Vallejo.
He was part of one of my most proud moments, CC Sabathia.
How so?
Well, we're cutting up the end of the segment, so I don't have time to get into it.
Okay, but, I'll ask you on the other side.
CC Sabathia not only made my day, but he made me feel very proud of myself.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I want to save that for Grandy and Dibs. How about that? All right. We'll come back with that. On the crossover, we also got What's Bugging You. We know it's not CC Sabathia, the future Hall of Famer. Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson with Matt Steinmetz. Again, the crossover and What's Bugging You coming up at 2 o'clock, brought to you by ATCO Pest Control. We'll be back with Willard and Dibs, Grandy in for Willard. That segment sponsored by Safeway.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.